Today I'll be reading Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live a long, long life on the earth.
Morning, church. It is good to be with you this morning. Great to see all of your faces and great to know those of you who are joining us electronically. Glad you're here. If you noticed, God joined us in our worship service. You hear the rain, you hear the thunder, and just thought, well, there's a Father's voice speaking in the midst of our worship assembly. So, hallelujah, we're glad we are here. Glad to be here with you, and happy Father's Day to all you dads. Happy Father's Day. It's an amazing blessing, not just to be a father, but to be a parent. When God was creating, he created the earth, the sky, the seas, the land, the creatures, and then he made Adam and Eve, and God had this conversation, let us make man in our image. Male and female, let them make in our image. Let this creature be the one who bears our image, who carries our image before the world and before the angels and before all of creation. And then if that's not an honor enough, God said, well, let's let these image bearers create more image bearers. Let's let them join in the creation process, not of just creating other creatures, but creating other creatures who bear the image of God. So dads, bio dads, stepdads, adoptive dads, foster dads, honorary dads, granddads, great-granddads, all of you men who are taking an active role in shaping and forming young people's lives, we are here to celebrate and to honor you this morning as we celebrate and honor our God. God puts fathers in a very high position. He has a great respect for fathers, for parents of all kinds. When God was giving Moses the Ten Commandments and said, this is how we're going to get along. This is how God's going to get along with his people, and his people are going to get along with God, how they're going to get along with each other. He said that children should honor their father and their mother. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. The scripture reading that Zach read for us draws from that passage in the Old Testament. God himself, the Father himself, in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, said, a son honors his father. And so according to scripture, fathers are to be honored and to be honorable. And so this morning we're going to look at three of the responsibilities. We're going to look in the Old Testament to find timeless truths for three responsibilities that God has given to fathers. So I would love it if you would join me in that. Godly fathers, first of all, discipline their children, their problems. Is that a Freudian slip? Is that what that is? I was not a problem child. If Clarity was here, she would tell you that. Godly fathers discipline their children. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 13 for this one. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Timeless truth out of the old covenant. Here's a hard truth, dads. Fathers who refuse to discipline their children are in effect refusing to love them. It doesn't mean discipline is fun. It's not fun for anybody, the giver or the receiver. But parents must understand that children need guidance and children need boundaries, and God has given us parents to set those. Dads, your kids need a best buddy, but that's not you. God can provide a best buddy for your kids from school, from church, from neighbors, and they need a best buddy. But God's called on parents to be the ones who set the boundaries and who give repercussions for those boundaries when they are broken. And so children need parents who love them enough to discipline. And this one has a positive and essential place in the lives of God's people. The Hebrew author, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, writes, no discipline, some of your translations say chastening, No discipline or chastening seems pleasant at the time, but painful. True. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. I remember back in my day, spankings were considered appropriate and fitting and necessary, and I earned my share of them. And I remember my parents saying, "This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." And I thought, that's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. Until I became a parent. It was time to discipline. And I remember we had one compliant child and one strong-willed child. That's a nice way to put it. And I won't tell you which, but I remember when the strong-willed child said, "Man, I'm not going to be like you when I grow up. I'm going to be a cool parent." Yeah. And I said, "Well, sweetheart, I hope you get a chance to be a cool parent, but your kids are going to determine how cool you get to be. Because your parents are going to be parents. They're supposed to be parents, and you're supposed to be a parent. And if your child is compliant, then you get to be the coolest kid parent in the world. But if your kid's strong-willed, you'll still have to be a parent." And she got a kid just like her. God is good. Some of you may know the name Tommy Moe. According to a Sports Illustrated article, Tommy Moe was a young man with unlimited ability as a skier. He was born to be a skier, and he was just filled with natural talent. And according to this article in Sports Illustrated, he was so filled with skill and ability and just this natural ability that there was no limit to what he could achieve. In fact, he was so skilled as a skier that at the age of 15 years old, he was invited to represent the United States on the U.S. Olympic ski team. Unfortunately, Tommy also had an appetite for drugs and alcohol. And so when the Olympic coach found out that 15-year-old Tommy was skipping out of the dorm to do drugs, he was kicked off the team. Tommy's dad, Tommy Sr., was in the construction business in Alaska. And Tommy Sr. decided that his son needed some discipline. So he brought him home to Alaska, put him into work in the construction business, where the day started at 4 a.m., and run 12 to 16 hours every single day. And to quote Tommy Sr., he said, "I worked him to the bone." He said, "Then I asked him, would you rather be doing this or skiing for the U.S. ski team?" Discipline. And Tommy Jr. got serious, began working on his skiing, began disciplining himself to be the athlete that he was called to be. At the age of 23, he represented the United States in the 1994 Winter Olympics, became the first American male skier to win two medals in a single Olympic season, and was later inducted in the National Ski Hall of Fame. Discipline. No discipline seems pleasant. But loving discipline, administered in a loving fashion, can produce a harvest, as the Hebrew writer says, of righteousness and peace for those who've been disciplined by it. And fathers, that's part of our call, is to be those who set the boundaries. Godly fathers discipline their children. Next, godly fathers train their children. We're going to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Proverbs 1:8. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." One of the primary responsibilities of a father, of parents in general, but especially of a father, is to train their children and to train them in godliness. Devin touched on this beautifully in his open announcements, in his prayer. And so this is what we're called to do, people who train their children in godliness. Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, as this young minister in Ephesus, describes the eternal benefits of the spiritual training. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 reads, "Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. It's great if you're buff, but if you can raise kids who are buff spiritually, that will not only benefit them in this life, but in the life to come." And training children to be godly is a blessing both as a father and to his children. Proverbs 1:8, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." a group of third and fourth graders were given an assignment, and their assignment was to fill in the blank. By faith, I know that God is blank. By faith, I know that God is third and fourth graders. I want to share with you just a few of their responses. Amanda says, by faith, I know that God is forgiving because he forgave in the Bible and he forgave me when I went in the road on my bike without one of my parents. Jeremy says, by faith, I know that God is merciful because my brother has been nice to me for a whole year. Brandon. By faith, I know that God is providing for. I love that word. If it's not in our dictionary, we need to put it there. God is providing for because he dropped manna for Moses and the people, and he gave my dad a job. And then Hannah said, by faith, I know that God is sweet because he gave me a dog. God tells me not to do things that are bad, and I need someone like that. Church, Hannah's right. Our kids need someone to tell them not to do things that are wrong and to encourage them to do things that are right. And God's given us parents to fulfill that role. Fathers bear a responsibility for training their children. And third and lastly, godly fathers love their children. This one from the Psalms, Psalm 103 and verse 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Godly fathers show the world what God the Father looks like. Perhaps the best example of that in Scripture I know of is the story of the prodigal son, or we might say the loving father. That's out of Luke chapter 15. You may be familiar with the story of the prodigal son. The youngest son decides that he needs to go out and explore the world, but he needs dad's money to do it. And for a father, the part of the story that seems most heartbreaking to me is the youngest son basically says, Dad, you're worth more to me dead than you are alive. Whatever wisdom you have, whatever blessings you want to give, whatever guidance you bring, whatever discipline you have, whatever love you want to show, I'll trade all of that for the money I'm going to get when you're dead, so I'd just as soon go ahead and you pretend like you're dead now and let me have the money. And the father did exactly that. And the youngest son did exactly what the father probably knew he would do. He went and squandered the money and wasted it. But the story is really about a loving father who never stopped looking down the road, praying for his son to return. Never stopped praying for the son. Never stopped anxiously hoping the son would come back. And so the son finally does come down the road. Luke chapter 15, verse 20, where the story is recounted, says that the father was filled with compassion. Later on, the father runs out to greet him, which was totally unacceptable in that culture. That was not the mature comport that a father was supposed to have. But he broke all protocol, ran to the son, greeted him, hugged him with a kiss, gave him a ring and sandals. In other words, welcomed him back into the family. And then threw a celebration feast. That's the story of what it looked like when God's people abandoned him for the world. And God keeps looking and loving and waiting for his children to come back to him. And the other twist in the story is the older son who stayed with the dad and continued to work got kind of bent out of shape over that. I've been here doing all my jobs. I've been doing my chores. I've been doing my brother's chores. I've stayed here and you've never killed a fatted calf for me. And now this wayward boy of yours, y'all ever do that? Jan, this daughter of yours, she'll be mine if she behaves, but when she's being strong-willed, that's your daughter. That's kind of what the oldest boy did. Dad, this rotten son of yours comes back and you throw out the red carpet. And you remember the loving response, Luke 15, verse 31. The father speaks to the older son who feels cheated and he says, my son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. You've not lost anything. The younger boy's not cost you anything. But he goes on to say, we had to celebrate and be glad. We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he was found. Godly fathers love their children, even when their kids are hard to love. In fact, I heard this and I wished I'd heard it and taken it to heart when my kids were younger. Our kids need love the most when they're the hardest to love. Stories told of a young, successful lawyer. And the lawyer was recounting the best gift he ever received. And the best gift he ever received was a gift from his father. It was a little bitty box. And in the little bitty box was a little bitty note. And the little bitty note said, "Son, this year I give you 365 hours. 1 hour every day after dinner to spend however you want to spend it. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. We'll play whatever you want to play. We'll do whatever you want to do. It's your hour every day after dinner to spend with me however you want to spend it." And the young man said his father kept his promise. Every day that year, for an hour after dinner, Dad gave him his undivided attention. And then, not only did he keep the promise that year, but the father renewed the promise the next year and the next year and the next year and the next year, so that this young man finally said, "I'm a product of my dad. I'm a product of my dad and the time he spent with me. Whatever you can say good about me, he gets the credit. Because the time he invested in me." Now, you and I know that we live in a busy world. And our world is only getting busier. It's not getting slower. It's moving faster. It's demanding more. And if you're like me, it's hard to find time in the day to do the stuff you really need to do, much less the stuff you want to do. And so it's easy for parents to decide, okay, I don't have the quantity of time I'd like to spend with my kids, so I'm going to replace that with quality time, which is a great idea. Except, dads, it requires a certain quantity of time for the time to be quality time. And so, like the prodigal father, looking for the prodigal son, looking down the road and celebrating when he comes back, we're called to be the kind of people who spend real time, invest real time, quality time, quantity time in our kids. So church, let's honor our fathers for the important people that they are. Zach read it for us. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother. Straight out of Exodus 20, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, you may enjoy long life on the earth. God gives us the blessing of being made in His image, His image bearers. We're to show the world what He looks like. And fathers, the call for you and me is to show the world what a godly father, our heavenly father, looks like. And not only just for the world, but to the angels and all of creation. Then He gives us the privilege of bearing more image bearers, with the call to raise them in discipline and in love and in direction so they grow up to be the next generation of God's faithful. And the greatest example of fatherhood is, of course, our Father in heaven. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is speaking to the people of Athens. And what he says is absolutely true. He says, "We are His offspring." And like most fathers, our Heavenly Father wants us to reach out to Him. Acts 17, 27, He's still speaking to the people in Athens. And He says, "Reach out for Him and find Him because He's not far from each one of us." And that's really our call this morning. Fathers, God bless you. We are grateful for you. We celebrate you. We honor you. Regardless of how that moniker fits, bio dad, stepdad, foster dad, adoptive dad, honorary dad, for those of you who are investing your time in the lives of young people to raise them up, we celebrate you today. As a gift from God and as a model to show us what a Heavenly Father looks like. High call. Great blessing. Wonderful privilege. Happy Father's Day. And aren't we blessed to have the greatest Father of all? He longs for people to look out for Him, to look for Him, to reach out to Him, because He's not far from any of us. This morning, we're going to stand and sing an invitation song. That's a formal invitation for you who are here. If there's any way this church can serve you, to tell us how. And maybe you've gotten so busy, you've kind of walked away from God a little bit, created some distance, and you're ready to close the gap. And like the prodigal son, you're ready to come home, and you're wondering, will God receive me? And just know He's looking down the road, waiting for you to come. He's looking forward to putting the robe on you and the ring and the sandals and killing the fatty calf and celebrating your return. For those of you who have children at home, God bless you. You have the highest calling, you and your spouse, to raise those kids to know and love God. So when we stand and sing, if there's any way this church can serve you, won't you tell us how? It would be an honor and a privilege to serve you. Maybe you just want to spend time in God's Word to see what His plan is for your life, and we'd love nothing more than to do that. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. Let's stand. Let's sing.